Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Ooh,
yeah,
doggy.
Recording podcasts in my living room!
Living Room Podcast!
Sitting on my couch!
Yeah, fuck the world!
Fuck everything! We're all gonna die!
Yeah!
Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
My name is David Bell.
Currently, my name is still Tom Ryman. We'll see what happens as this quarantine goes on.
And we just watched The Hunt.
The Hunt.
The Helen Hunt biography.
The Hunt for Red October. Were you not supposed to watch that one?
Hey! What is happening? What is all of this?
Did you see that article? Every year, these liberal elites kidnap a bunch of normal folks like us and hunt us for sport.
Tom, what did you think of... So this came out... this was supposed to be in theaters. This movie has had a lot of turmoil. It got pulled because of its advertising.
October, I think, is when it was originally supposed to come out.
Because, like, Trump tweeted about it because he clearly didn't understand what the movie was about.
Right. Fox News ranted about it. Peepaw saw that and tweeted about it.
Yeah.
And then they completely pulled it from release, which is gross.
Yeah, even though the just going by the trailer was like evil liberals killing conservatives.
Right.
And they were like,
they didn't even understand the premise.
Yeah, it's like right there in the trailer, and like they were apparently mad about that, but it's like, but the liberals are the villains. You realize that, right?
Like, the weird PC liberals are the bad guys in this. Isn't that what you want?
Right. And it's right there in the trailer. Again, it's right there in the trailer. And then it kind of snuck its way back and it did this like brief advertising campaign of like, you know, like, we're going to trigger everybody with this movie. It wasn't a great advertising campaign.
What can you do?
And then it the coronavirus happened. So they pretty much dumped it on VOD because they were like, okay, we're taking a hit on this movie.
Yeah.
So then we watched it on VOD.
We did, yeah. We probably would not have done this film were it not for the coronavirus situation.
Yeah, because it's one of a few movies released on VOD early. And this was going to be out, I think, around this time anyway.
I think it was supposed to come out this weekend, I think.
Right. So that checks out. Nothing has changed yet.
No.
What did you think of The Hunt?
I actually kind of liked it.
It's definitely okay.
I enjoyed that it was very hard to predict.
To a point. It started getting easy to predict later, I say.
Right. Once it becomes clear that Betty Kilpin is the main character.
Yeah, which, honestly, they show her right at the beginning.
They do, and then she walks disappears. Off.
So I sort of assumed she was going to come back. I didn't know, you know, that she was going to be the only person to make it. And so that was a great series of just characters just getting killed off left and right.
There's so many good fake-outs, because the movie kind of starts on Emma Roberts, and you're like, oh, she's a person I recognize, and it's like following her for a bit, and she meets up with this guy who's like clearly like fake-ass Handsome McGee, like he's clearly like leading man Handsome.
Yes.
So like, oh, okay, I see what's going to happen here, and then she gets killed instantly.
and then
he dies like one scene later. Yeah, so it's like, oh shit. And then follows like Ike Barinholtz for a while, so you think he's going to be...
What I liked is when she get killed, the camera like pans, it pans over to, like, it's the same shot of him next to her corpse, and he moves, and when he moves, another woman's there, and it's almost like the movie's like, no, it's this romantic subplot.
Yeah.
And then she gets killed, and then he gets killed, and you're like, oh, okay, so it's none of that.
Yeah. And then it follows Ike Barinholtz for like 10 minutes with that, where he's sort of like the leader of that group of three people, so you think maybe he'll be like a main character. Nope.
Right.
He gets killed pretty quickly by Amy Madigan in the convenience store.
Yeah, and eventually, and then after the convenience store, our lead shows up and we follow her from then on. And then it's basically just a revenge movie at that point. It's pretty much just she works her way to the big boss and kills her.
Yeah.
And then, spoilers for The Hunt, she survives.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the film started to lose me. That's why I'm saying it's definitely okay, because it's fun.
It's fun, yeah. And even when it stops,
it's competent. There's nothing bad about it. It just,
right.
I know I'm going to forget this. I know,
sure.
I'm going to. It's not like Ready or Not, where Ready or Not went above and beyond with like why it was happening and the escalation. This sort of kind of, I would say it fizzles out a little bit because it's just like, and then she finds Hilary Swank and they fight.
Yeah, but the fight,
the fight's good.
The fight is fun and it's really well done.
Oh yeah, this movie is well done.
It's fun to see, like, that's that fight scene at the end. It's like, okay, that's why you get Betty Gilpin in there, because she's you know she does all that wrestling shit on Glow.
Yeah,
so they're really kicking the shit out of each other in that scene.
Yeah, the execution's fantastic. It's more just the script, I thought, is weak. It's just, it doesn't amount, like, the whole time I was wondering, why did they make them like liberal elites? And the answer is no reason, really.
No real reason, just so they can.
And they're not very, everybody's very cartoonish.
Right,
like,
this is
they're
very.
They're doing the Facebook meme jokes about assuming genders and like, it's very like low hanging fruit, I would say, in terms of making, like, you, like, I'm all for making fun of liberals, because liberals, especially rich liberals, are hypocrites.
Yeah, and that's kind of what this is.
Yeah, but they went for the easy stuff.
Yeah, no, this movie is not deep.
No.
And like Ethan Suplee is like an Alex Jones type.
Yes. And again, he's very two-dimensional.
Yeah, they're all kind of cartoonish. This movie doesn't, I don't know. I don't know if it was trying to be deep or not, because it definitely, both sides is it. Like, it makes it both the hyper-conservative and the liberal elites just super cartoonish.
Yeah. Well, I don't think this movie's saying anything dangerous.
No.
I don't think it's doing anything bad, but I don't think it's doing anything good, and that's why I'm like, well, what was the point? Because that's sort of what it came down to, is I was like, I was waiting for some sort of reason for these to be liberals versus conservatives.
There's no real reason apart from the ultimate twist.
Yeah.
That's it. It's just like they believed in a conspiracy theory. So like, well, you believe this is true? Well, then we'll just make it true.
Right. Which made the villains, I mean, again, going back to Ready or Not, like, I loved the idea in Ready or Not that the villains were like, they had to do this.
Yeah.
They made a deal with the devil and they can't get out of it. And you sort of understood it. Where they were coming from, mm-hmm. at least in terms of why they were doing it. And this, we learn that they're just like, it's a group of liberal rich people who got all kind of stepped down from their jobs because of a text exchange where they joked about killing people for sport, killing deplorables. And then that was enough for them to actually do it. And I was like, that's weird. Like, that doesn't seem like enough for like a group of people to all decide to actually hunt people for sport.
To actually murder people who posted conspiracy theories on Facebook.
Yeah, and to pick randomly out of like the thousands, because the idea is like it's a mass internet push to get them fired, and they pick like 12 of them. That's again why I'm saying, like, this movie doesn't owe me an explanation.
Mm-hmm.
But since it made it so simple, I was thinking, like, well, just drop the political angle altogether then. But the problem is, once you take that away, there's not that much left in terms of just, originality.
Yeah, it's just like surviving the game.
Yeah.
Or the Jean-Claude Van Damme epic film Hard Target.
Yes.
Remember when he knocks the snake out? Do you remember that day?
Yeah,
when he knocks the snake out?
I couldn't help but notice Lindelof. And the ending credits.
Yeah, Lindelof co-wrote the script.
I'm wondering if they brought him on.
Crap, I can't remember. We were doing some coverage about this, a Collider.
Okay.
I can't remember if it was an idea that he already had.
Okay, because I'm wondering if the liberal conservative thing was added later because of this, because they were like, well, we need something to like give it some spice.
Yeah, to make it topical.
Yeah.
Or to give it the appearance of being topical.
Right, and that's that's the thing. It's very superficial ultimately, the addition of that. Which feels like that's why it feels like it was added later, and it's like if you're going to add that, you kind of have to do like a deeper rewrite then, if this is in fact how it happened, for it to mean anything, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's plenty of good, like the Belko experiment is basically a battle royale.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something to it that made it unique.
Yeah.
And I think it's more in the execution. I don't know. And this has plenty of unique stuff in the execution.
Yeah, it's fun. It's funny.
Yeah, it's funny. It's got a lot of really fun shit in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like that was bugging me the whole time because I was like, I don't get what they're trying to say.
It's not saying anything, I don't think.
Yeah.
Other than I'm sure there's a little bit of self-parody in it.
Yeah.
Because obviously Damon Lindelof is a left-leaning guy, and I think everybody involved at Blumhouse is. So there may be an element to that to it. I don't think it's really saying anything. It's just, hey, let's plug in some jokes about like conspiracy theory nuts thinking everyone's a crisis actor, and then actually have one of the people be a crisis actor.
Right. So they built that the elaborate, like the refugee thing was part of it. It's kind of Michael Douglas in The Game, where you're like, they wouldn't know that they would get on this train, did they?
I don't know. It says, he says to them, the crisis actor guy, who's actually one of the hunters, just, you know,
he says they're real.
He says the other refugees are real. Yeah. But that the train wasn't supposed to get stopped. It got stopped by the military.
Right. So what was the plan there?
I don't know.
Because they drove the plane, they drove the train through, assuming they were going to hop on it. But maybe that's assuming they didn't kill them first.
Maybe he was there with the refugees just in case they got on the train. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And then, the fact that there was an actual military, like, stop down the line that they didn't have control over, or did they? Again,
no,
I'm like,
no,
I'm not
they
sure.
They didn't,
because she sort of says everybody's lying. Because then the embassy guy shows up, and then he's in on it.
Yeah, I don't think they had control over the military. No,
right. I would have liked to see the scale of what's going on.
They didn't know what was going on.
Right, right. Yeah, that guy is he levels with them basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I just can't figure out what the hell their original plan was in that train.
I don't know. Just in case.
Yeah, I guess they just planted random.
Yeah, they planted a guy there.
The
old guy might have been a plant, but we're not sure.
Right.
I think that was just like contingencies in case they did get out of that away, because most of them are in that little pillbox in the beginning.
Right. And then they drive him to the gas station, and that seems to be the plan.
Yeah.
Is like, I thought it feels very like. Like, I would have loved to see, like, how controlled is this area? Because I couldn't... And I know part of the point is that it's faking you out. It's the idea of you jump the fence and then they're still in it.
Yeah, you're still in it, yeah.
But we never really see what the borders are, ultimately. Like, that feels very vast dystopian, where it's like, you know, oh, shit, are they, like, under a dome right now? Like, how freaking controlled is this?
It appeared that it was only as controlled as... They had the pillbox, that forest area, and the gas station. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Because then it goes back to them all sitting at the pillbox later. And I was like, wait, they're all still at the pillbox?
Yep.
Like, they did the whole train thing. I thought they were taking them for this whole elaborate ride, like the game. But it looked like they didn't have that much area.
They probably didn't.
Yeah, I like the premise of that they sort of have later, which... I feel like kind of explains it, but I just wish there was more detail where it's their first one.
Yeah.
It's their first hunt. So the idea is that they're not very good at it.
Yeah, they're all kind of bad at it.
And I think that's sort of the joke, is that like the pig and like the box of guns and them sort of being like, why did they give us the, why don't, is it supposed to be fair? And then them trying to like put these half-assed messages in everything is very funny.
Yeah.
Because it's the implications that they're just very bad at this. And I almost want more of that, more of their end. Of them, like, trying, to, you know, like, a control room or, like, them trying to have control over it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the real world is leaking in. I think that's the idea, right, of the them getting stopped with the refugees. Is like, oh, they lost control over it.
Yeah, I think that's part of it.
Yeah. But then when they bring the ambassador
in, by the Croatian military.
Right. When they bring the ambassador in, I was like, I can't understand. Okay, do they have control over it? Because this guy clearly pulled some strings.
Yeah, maybe they called, I don't know, because they seem to have control over the phones, too. Remember when he calls 911? It's clearly, I think it's Glenn Howerton on the other end.
Yeah, I was unclear of how much control they have over their environment, and I thought there was going to be a reveal about that.
No, they just let it go.
Yeah, she goes, what is it, from the car to the pillbox.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there to the manor, that's what it is.
Yep.
Yeah. I like the consultant from Tears of the Sun.
Yeah, it's a good gag.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of good moments like that, little good exchanges.
Yeah.
It's got, what's his name, Dennis?
Yeah, Glenn Howerton.
Yeah.
Dennis from It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, he's killing it as always.
He's pretty excellent in this, yeah.
The performances are all fantastic.
Yeah.
That was Ethan Suplee?
Yeah.
He. I wonder if, because he lost a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would put on weight for a role.
No, he's still, I mean, he's still not as big as he was.
Yeah, he was pretty swole last time I looked him up. Hold on. Ethan, everybody Google Ethan Suplee.
Google Ethan Suplee. But yeah, like, compare him in this movie to how big he was in, like, Mallrats and, like, American History X. He used to be a lot bigger.
Yeah. Oh, no, what I mean is, yeah, I know he used to be a lot bigger, but I thought he was, like, swole now. I thought he'd become uncontrollably swole.
No, not to my knowledge.
All right, look it up. Actor Ethan Suplee in his amazing transformation and losing more than 100 pounds. He looks swole. I don't think that was Ethan Suplee.
It 100% is.
Really?
I looked in the credits.
Look him up.
All right.
When was this made?
This was made probably 2 years ago.
Yeah, maybe by then. Yeah, there he is. But look at him. Look at him now. He looks like he looks like a free folk. You seeing him?
Yeah, I see him.
Look at him. What is that?
I don't know.
How is that the same guy? Everybody Google Ethan Suplee.
You know, time passes.
Yeah, but like
people's appearances change.
So he was, I guess he had put on a little weight for the hunt. And then he had his incredible transformation, because he's looking real swole. That's what I was just wondering if he had like a suit on, like a fat suit or something.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't know the timeline of Ethan Suplee anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
everyone.
I've lost track of Ethan Suplee. I used to be on it. Like that was my beat. I was on the Suplee beat.
Suplee beat. Remember him in American History X?
Yes.
Jesus Christ. What a career. He's been a fucking Scorsese film. Like he's all over the goddamn place.
That's right. He's in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah. I think he's one of the ones who it's like, he's not Nicolas Cage. You know, he's not getting all these roles thrown at him. But I think like Nicolas Cage, he doesn't say no. He's just, and not in a lot in a like he's just like up for anything that people will put him in.
Sure.
And he's a good actor. I think he's a good, is he a good actor?
He's
I
not
think
bad.
He is. Yeah. So he just ends up in a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah.
All because of his start in Mallrats, first feature film.
His auspicious debut.
Yeah. I'm looking at it. He was in an episode of Sister, Sister before that. And then he was in Drawing Flies. You remember Drawing Flies?
I do not.
It's a movie directed by, Jason Lee. No, it's not directed by Jason Lee. It stars Jason Lee as a guy looking for Sasquatch. It was off of Kevin Smith's production company, View Askew. It's one of their few movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't remember it being good.
Yeah, I don't remember it. So
oh, okay.
Odds are anyway, it's probably not good.
It's not. Yeah, I saw it as a teenager, so I think they were going for a thing. It's got Jason Mewes in it. They were going for like a weird tone. Did you see Vulgar?
No.
Okay, it's like that too. Vulgar was like the movie Joker before Joker came out. It's about it's Brian O'Halloran playing a murderous clown, party clown, who like has one shitty day and like becomes a maniac, from what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
None of this matters.
Yeah, I'm glad we're on this topic right now.
I don't know. I was just it's weird I didn't recognize Ethan Suplee in this because I just assumed like, well, he's like swole now, so that can't be him. He's Ethan Suplee.
Shoves a grenade down a guy's pants.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I really like the grenade gag at the beginning where they throw the grenade at the guy and they forget to pull the pin.
Yeah.
And you hear them just like, oh, shit. And then they throw a second grenade.
Throw another one.
And yeah. This guy has to accept his death twice.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah, it's a solid gag.
Yeah. Yeah, and the grenade down the guy's pants is pretty good.
That was good. Basically, everything Betty Gilpin does is great.
Yeah.
Like when they're in the... I laughed pretty hard when they're in the car with the fake ambassador. And he's like starting to ask him, like, well, there must be a reason why. And she, as soon as he starts saying that, she just like very casually reaches up and grabs the like handle and like rotates in her seat and just drop kicks him out of the car.
What was so funny about that is she grabs the handle, lifts her legs up so it looks like she's going to kick the windshield, and then like in almost like a funny way, slowly rotates.
Yep.
Like she's having a great fucking time in this movie.
Yeah.
She's everything in this movie.
Great.
She's the perfect protagonist for this because the reveal is that Hilary Swank got the wrong person.
Yeah.
And she's just some rando who really doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
About any of this.
Right. So when like Hilary Swank's explaining what happened, she's like, so yeah, you guys, y'all made up this rumor that we were hunting people. And she's like, but you're hunting people.
Right.
It's like, yeah, but we weren't until you did it. She's like, yeah, but now you are. So it is true.
Yeah. I think what they could have played up is there was an opportunity to kind of do a Brazil here. The idea of the bureaucratic or incompetent dystopian.
Yes. Yeah.
Film. Where if this was more organized or like more like a government thing or more official, like a corporation, and mm-hmm. it was their first time, it was like their, you know, the first Hunger Game situation, and they're just so bad at it and they get everything wrong. Like that was my favorite aspect is that they got the wrong person. They have no fucking clue what they're doing. Like it's the idea that they're just being hunted by idiots.
Yeah.
And that makes it even worse. The non-pulled pin on the grenade, you know?
Yeah.
The bad symbolism of what they're doing. Trying to, like, teach them a lesson. Like, I like how she picks up on the idea that anytime someone is a plant, it's because they're, like, trying to push them towards a lesson.
Right.
Or try to make them understand. And that automatically shows, like, oh, okay, yeah, they're in on it.
Yeah. Man. There are some fun bits.
Yeah.
Like, just with, like... Oh, man. Does Glenn Howerton just being a troll?
Oh, yeah.
Wanders outside to pee because it's like they don't even... they just have no concept of what it is they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, when the old guy, like, takes the clip out of the gun and he's like... He thinks that's, like, solved it, but it's like...
Oh, but
she's like, well, no, there's one in
the
chamber. Like...
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good. I liked him on the plane at the beginning too.
Yeah, his opening on the plane is great.
Is really fantastic.
Yeah. He's asking her about this like 100-year-old Nazi champagne.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was
yeah.
like three bottles of it found in this sunken submarine and Hilary Swank's character had bought three of them.
Right.
And then
the end, she throws the champagne at her and she catches it.
She like dives and catches it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then at the end, she gets the champagne.
Mm. And the caviar.
Yep. And the caviar.
I like the gag in the end during their fight when she kicks them both through glass and then we follow them as they're fighting outside. And then Betty Gilpin's about to throw her through another glass door and Hilary Swank stops, says, no more glass, and opens the door.
Yeah, I like that too.
It was so good. Oh yeah, and even after they got kicked through the glass the first time, they're both laying on the ground and they both go like, "Give me a minute."
Yeah. I love that shit. I love a good fight where it's two people who are kind of not in any hurry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the bit with the gun pinching her. That looked nasty.
Oh, yeah, that was gruesome.
Yeah. The blender thing was, I like them passing the blender piece via their bodies by slamming together. That was really cool. There's some good fighting. I feel like they could have had more. Like, there's a little too much people getting blown up. Like, there's three people who go all pink mist.
I feel like
they could have thought of some more there.
Well, the
there
first
were good
one,
explosions.
The first one's a little more graphic because it's the lady that just fell in the punji pit.
Yeah.
And then a handsome guy steps on a landmine and it blows her in half and her top half flies back into the punji pit.
I loved it. This was a really good use of Snowflake because she's in half. And she's like, "Kill me." And the guy's like, "I'm not going to kill you." And she's like, "You fucking snowflake." And shoots herself. Yeah. That was solid. There was a couple solid right before dying. The part where she asked the woman, like, if she thinks she should be treated differently, have mercy on her because she's a woman, to, like, the liberal elite. And she goes, "No." And she immediately shoots her.
Yep. When they're trying to make them think it's Arkansas. And she buys the cigarettes from Amy Madigan, and she's like, "You fucked up, bitch.
Yeah.
Cigarettes cost $5 in Arkansas," and then blows her away.
Right. Which is pretty drastic, but...
I know, but just...
It's pretty funny.
Just the way she said, "You fucked up, bitch."
Oh, yeah, no, her performance
made me laugh really hard.
Her performance is so good.
Yeah, she's great.
The her weird humming.
Oh, yeah. That was a great scene.
Yeah, where she's talking to the consultant after he's pretty much done for.
Yeah, she is bludgeoning the shit out of him with a pipe.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a good scene because she was like, "What's the line?" She's like, "Well, I work in a car dealership where I don't get to do much of," and she does that weird humming thing.
Yeah.
And then talks about how when she was in Afghanistan, it was like more... I don't know. I'm not doing it justice, but it's a great...
No, there's no way to do it justice because it's entirely her face and the noises she's making.
It's entirely performance, and it's really good.
Yeah. I think that's what saved this movie for me is her performance and the execution of the brutality.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish it was put on something that was a little more... Like, the broad strokes were more creative. Like, the beginning was so solid. This person dying. And you can tell they had a really good idea for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just goes, and then they go here, and then they go here, and then they go here. And then we get a flashback explaining why the villains are doing this. And then we end it. And it's like, it was so, I don't know, that's as easy as it can get. And then the explanation of why they're doing it is, like, kind of baffling.
Yeah. It's a fun idea. It doesn't make sense. Like, a group of nine people would not all agree to go on a killing spree.
Again, it's a cartoonish view of liberals and conservatives because it's the idea that these people, the only thing that drives them, that they're like-minded enough to kill, like, poor conservatives is because they're liberal elites. Mm-hmm. And it's that idea that, like, no, people aren't randomly, like, sociopaths like that.
No, you know, but like they are in this world.
Yeah, but you need to give them, like, again, that's why I liked The Devil Made Me Do It in Ready or Not, where it was like, oh, I actually understand where these people are coming from and why a group of people would choose to do this because, you know, that's one of those things I've talked about with Hunger Games. It's like, I really need to be convinced, like, why would everybody agree to this?
Oh, yeah. No, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a little more egregious in Hunger Games because Hunger Games is trying to be serious and important, capital letters.
Sure. But, like, even like Hostel pulls it off because Hostel's like, no, it's like we're specifically drawing in these people. It's a service. Even Escape Room. Did you see Escape Room?
I did not.
You probably don't have to. Escape Room kind of reminds me of this where it has some really good moments, really good execution of things. It clearly has talent behind it, but it all kind of didn't amount to anything where they had, you know, they didn't really have an answer or like, why is this happening? What's the grand reason?
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of just like, yeah, they're bad guys. And it's like, okay. Like,
yeah, but this is very specific what they're doing.
Yeah, and this is very specific.
No, I mean, like, I was saying...
Oh, escape room?
Yeah, an escape... The idea of trapping people in a fake escape room that's actually going to kill them. It's like, we need a little bit more than just they're bad guys.
They explain why they chose escape room, specifically. They do choose that. They do explain that.
Oh, okay.
But ultimately, it's kind of like Hostel. It's spoilers for escape room, I guess. It's not really a spoiler because it's still vague. It's just like, yeah, rich people. And it's like, okay.
All right.
Sure.
I mean, I get it in Saw.
Yeah, in Saw, they give him a very clear motivation.
Yeah.
That's like, well, that's not really how I would go about it, making people know that they're lucky to be alive. But, you know, that's certainly a way to do it, you know?
Sure.
Chopping off Cary Elwes's foot. He really looks like lucky to have what he has when he's crawling out of that room.
Mm-hmm. You can tell he's just thankful for his life.
Yeah, as the blood is rushing out of his leg.
Mm-hmm. Just spraying out of it like,
yeah,
like he stepped on a tube of toothpaste.
Yeah. I think this genre, because I think this movie, people would like it if they like the overall genre more than me. Because the escape horror genre, I think there's just so much of it.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty crowded right now.
Yeah, that I really need a good... Something's really got to stand out. Like... I love horror films,
mm-hmm.
and so I'll watch every single horror film, and the sense of quality I have for them is lower for that reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'll watch Hell House LLC and be like, that was a pretty good found footage horror movie, and it's fine, you know?
It's all fine.
Yeah, exactly. So with this genre, I'm not very attracted to it, so it's like... I really need it to stand out.
I think the performances, particularly Betty Gilpin's, and there's the first half hour is pretty clever. And there's some solid gags, and that final fight scene is pretty great. That's enough for me.
Yeah,
like it didn't go. It's like a paper thin plot.
But. Yeah. I would say this isn't a $20 rental.
No, no.
Or a movie theater. Like you said, we weren't going to originally do this in the movie theaters. And, you know, I just probably for the, you know, it's just, it's not, it's definitely a good, you're at home, it's on Netflix or it's like a $3 rent.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth it to me. But as like, I'm going to go to the theater and see this.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I risked coronavirus for this, I would have been way more ticked off by it.
If you had gone to the theater and a child had sneezed on your head.
Exactly, like they did fucking Onward.
And Onward, which is now available on VOD, so we could have just stayed home.
Yeah, well, we didn't know then. We didn't know.
That's true. We had no idea. We had no
way to know what America would become.
I do love the... Like, again, it's all easy jokes. And it's just making fun of stereotypes, but I did really like the conversation between Amy Madigan and her husband.
Oh yeah, that was cute.
Well, oh, go ahead.
What's that? I was just gonna say I liked when he drank the soda, and she goes, "Oh, that's poison."
Yeah.
He spits it out, and he's like, "You poisoned the soda," and she's like, "No, you know how much sugar is in that." That was cute.
Right, after they'd poisoned the lady with donuts.
Yeah.
Or and she's like, she feels upset. Somewhat about killing Ike Barinholtz because he's wearing a wedding ring. And she's like, he's wearing a wedding ring. He's like, so they're monsters. He probably uses the N-word and not even in private.
Yeah, there's some good... Yeah, like a lot of it's a low-hanging fruit, but there's some good jabs. Liberals are very fun to make fun of.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think it's like conservatives where it's like... Or making fun of conservatives where it's like, if you go for the real easy stuff, then it's like, well, I've heard it. I've heard it, you know?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have minded more exchanges like that or more creative stuff.
Yeah, that exchange is really fun. I liked the flashback to the meeting where they're picking all of their candidates, quote unquote.
Right.
Like there were some funny jokes in that.
Oh, yeah.
When one of the slides are looking at is a possible contestant or whatever is a black guy.
Yeah, they're all like, they're all like, no.
It's like, well, it would be problematic if we didn't have a person of color.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that was a good bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a funny idea. I mean, it's the idea that, like, this is why I wanted them to work harder, is because the liberals kind of pride themselves around the idea of compassion, compassion for people, but then, you know, they can be just as shitty, especially in an, like, I think they were trying to do the idea that we're all very shitty on the internet, especially.
Yeah, oh, hell yeah.
And I wanted them to just work harder to find a message there of, like, the idea of thinking you're being compassionate and progressive while doing something extremely not progressive.
Yeah.
It was like they were trying to do the horseshoe theory that I think is full of shit. Where it's that if you're extreme conservative or extreme liberal, you end up in the same place.
Yeah.
This does have like a little hints of the centrism where like the main character is like above it all and doesn't give a shit, while the right and the left are going at it. You know, like there's that element to it, I think.
They never really identify what her politics are.
Right, and that's why I feel like it's a very... Because she doesn't care about the conspiracy Alex Jones side. She doesn't care about the liberal, hardcore side.
Well, yeah, there's... When the old guy, who may or may not have been a plant, sits down, it's like, well, don't you want to... I'd really love to hear what you think about this. Don't you... Like, what are you thinking about all of it? She's like, they're trying to kill me. I don't give a shit why. Like,
right, yeah. And so I guess that's where they were... Like, part of the message, it just... It felt like they were just like they were dancing around a moral or a message.
Yeah, it was kind of South Park in that way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, well, see, all you guys are dumb. And it's like, well.
Yeah, which I think is a dangerous thing because the one part that really rubbed me the wrong way, actually, is the person killing the other person going global warming is real. And it's like, but it is real. I know you're not going to kill someone over that, but what are you trying to say there?
Yeah.
Like, are you trying to say that's a ridiculous political thing? Because it shouldn't be a leftist. You know, like that, the whole point of that is that it's not a political idea.
And it shouldn't be, but it is in America.
It is and it isn't. I think there are conservatives who understand that climate change, you know, like average conservatives. Probably one of the things they're most frustrated about their party, and I mean I'm just assuming because I think average Americans go to school and believe in science and will understand something like climate change.
Yeah.
And it's more just the people on the top, the people on Fox News, and you know what I mean, where it's like that feels very two-dimensional and it feels like it's not doing either side a good thing. It's a disservice to both sides of the idea of identity.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know.
Well, the movie's not really about anything. Like, it doesn't have a message.
Right. It doesn't have a message, which is why, like, the political aspect felt like a bad idea. Because it's, like, in a time right now where politics are very heated.
Yeah.
To just throw that in with no message is like, well, what are you even doing? And again, it's not dangerous. They didn't do anything dangerous. They're not stirring up the pot.
No, this movie is entirely harmless.
Yeah, I think the comparison I'm thinking is Get Out. Because Get Out is a hilarious commentary on rich liberals. Like, the bad guys are liberals in Get Out.
Yeah, and it's about, like, fetishization.
And they're saying something a lot more specific and poignant. Where this feels like it's not saying anything, and so therefore, it's like, I don't know why it's in there.
I don't know. Yeah. Just like something, I don't know. I don't know.
It's a layer. It's an unneeded layer, I think. I think I would have liked this movie more without it.
Yeah.
If it was just like kind of fun.
I liked some of the jokes about it. Like, I liked when they were poking fun of the liberals.
I think what they could have done is made it less about that. Like, they could be clearly liberal elites, but that's not why they're doing it or something like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
where it's like they can still make them funny, like clown liberal elites,
right?
But the fact that they're so motivated that they're going to shoot someone because they and say climate change is real is just like, that feels, I don't know what the message is there. I don't know what they're trying to tell me.
Nothing. They're not trying to say anything.
Yeah.
We're just trying to get a chuck out of you.
Mm-hmm. Couple chucks.
Couple of chucks.
Tossing a few chucks my way.
Mm-hmm. I think that's all this movie was trying to do.
Yeah. Well, it got caught up in so much bullshit.
Yeah.
I think that's what they were trying to do for sure.
Yeah.
But there's just so many weird layers to it that you watch it and you can't help but to wonder what are they trying to tell me? Because they're using very strong political sides,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, okay, I'm listening. You know, like what do you want to tell me here? And it really isn't anything.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just supposed to be fun.
What's that?
I said I think it was just supposed to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's fine.
I don't know what else there is to say about this movie. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. I would say if you like this genre, it's probably worth renting it now. If you're like a big into the escape survival genre. But I would say for the casual viewer, I would wait until it comes down in price to rent it.
Yeah, unless we're all stuck inside. If you're dying of boredom. Yeah, sure, rent it. It's fun.
Yeah, but
it moves pretty quick.
I would rent like The Invisible Woman.
Yeah, I'd watch
The Invisible Man first.
Depends. We might have to put the Invisible Man could be very upsetting for some people.
Yeah. Well, so could this.
That's true. But The Invisible Man's about something very specific and real.
Yeah.
So.
But it's, this is definitely more, more just gore.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's if you're out there and you got money to spend and you're quarantined, you're trying not to murder your family, and you just want to murder your family so bad. It's more than anything.
Yep.
And you know everything will be all right.
That smell, like you're starting to resent their smell.
Yeah, and like the little noises they make.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those little fucking, the way they breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the breathing will be a problem if you just murder your family.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, pop on this movie instead of murdering your family.
Yeah, and then pretend all the dead people are your family.
Yeah, yeah. It goes,
it'll be cathartic for a little bit.
Yeah, it goes this, all right. This movie, and then the greater than symbol, and then murdering your family.
Mm-hmm. It is definitely a better alternative to killing your entire family.
Right. What's a movie that's a worse alternative?
Than killing your entire family?
Yeah.
Petov's Catwoman.
Yep. No, yeah. If you're going to choose between killing your family or watching Catwoman, I'm sorry, fam.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You got to go.
Yeah,
it's come down to that. I mean,
this brick isn't going to smash itself into your head. So,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. God, this is dark. sorry, everyone.
Been on some weird tangents this episode. Listen, yeah, it's quarantine. We're all going a little crazy.
Yep, we're all a little touched. So. thank you guys for listening, though.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Yeah, hopefully this finds you well.
Yeah, I agree. I hope I hope you're doing good. I hope you're sticking with it. I hope you're not killing your family. I hope you're staying strong and staying indoors and, riding this thing out.
Yeah.
And we'll all have a big old fucking party when this is over.
Yep.
That's what we'll do.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly won't just keep playing video games inside and doing what we've been doing for years.
No, I'm definitely going to live like it's like I'm Carrie Elwes and I've just sawed my foot off.
Exactly.
I'm really going to enjoy my life to the fullest now.
You're going to crawl out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to crawl out.
Pale-faced.
I'm going to crawl out on my hands and knees, leaving Lee Winnell behind me, leaving him trapped in the horror dungeon.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'll plug our Patreon. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. You can check it out if you can afford it. If not, do not do it. Support yourself.
Yeah.
Before anything else.
We put out plenty of free content, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
we'll be right there with content. You in these trying times.
What you can do that doesn't cost a thing is you can rate us on Apple on iTunes.
Yeah, leave us a review wherever you're listening to this. It helps us out.
Yeah, that's free. only costs your time.
It's free. Just costs you time, mm-hmm. which you got a lot of right now.
Yeah, you do. Make dummy accounts.
Sure.
Do us a bunch of reviews.
Make several reviews.
Yeah. Is that illegal? Should I be even encouraging that?
I don't know. I think it's. I think it's harder podcast, to do. In,
I don't know
with
what
Apple.
Podcast law is.
Yeah, I don't. We're out here in the podcast wild, wild west right now. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah. All right. Is that it?
I think so. I mean, we have a store, but I'm not going to plug it right now. You don't need to. Okay. You guys don't need to buy our T-shirts or anything right now.
Yeah, unless you need like tourniquets. Our T-shirts make great tourniquets.
They make awesome tourniquets.
Yeah, you get Swolefield wrapped around your fucking. Your bloody yeah, foot.
8-inch gash.
After you sawed it off.
Yeah, after I've sawed it off, you can wrap it up to your stump in a Swolefield shirt.
Oh, man.
I mean, tpublic.com/store/gamefully unemployed. We've talked about it for a minute already, so there's
yeah,
the link.
It's fine. There's the link.
But don't
use it, carry always to.
Yeah, use it, carry always to stifle the flow of blood from your mangled stump.